Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the latest edition of the First Down Snapcast. I'm your host, Richard Butler, and alongside me tonight is regular show analyst Ian Davis. Ian, would you like to introduce tonight's guest? Because I know you're a bit excited about this.
Yes, I am very excited today to have a former Dallas Cowboys star on the programme. Super Bowl VI winner, six-time Pro Bowler, University of Iowa Hall of Famer, two NFL championships to his name, John Nyland. Good evening, John.
Hey.
It's probably good afternoon to you.
My wife is here. She's clapping.
It's an absolute pleasure, John, to have you on the show. Man of your history experience in the game. One of the things that stood out when we were looking into yourself as a going to University of Iowa, you started at university as a fullback, but then you were converted before into an offensive tackle before right tackle into your sophomore year. How did that feel to you, being asked to change your position, what you'd gone in there as?
I was faster than all our running backs. I was a pretty good speedster. And because of my speed, and I could carry that 255-pound weight to a pretty good clip, they thought maybe I'd be better at the offensive line or tight end. I played tight end too. Actually, I played multiple positions depending on what defense we had to go against. So for the most part, you know, it was played what I said. I played split end and fullback my freshman years, and then they switched me over to offensive line.
John, what did you like playing best?
What did I what?
What did you like playing best? What was your favorite position?
I like offensive line because you get to hit somebody every time.
I knew you were going to say that. You get to hit people.
You get to hit somebody every time the ball is snapped. That was important. I also had pretty good knowledge of the game. I mean, we had a multiple offense. Offensive linemen, you know, typically offensive linemen control the game and eventually win. But defensive line controls the championships. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, when you come to realize that, you can score all the points you want, but if you can't keep them from scoring, what good is it?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. The phrase goes around, and it has done for years, about defenses. They allow you time to score. Very successful in the University of Iowa. In 1965, you were an All-American selection in your senior year, as well as a Big Ten winner. Obviously, at the time, the University of Iowa were very successful, and you played a big part in that. Were there some very fond memories for you in them few years at Iowa?
We did. We did have some good memories. You know, we were probably going to be, we were trying to win the Big Ten championship 1965, but it didn't happen. We didn't win too many championships. We didn't win too many games, quite frankly. But we did have pretty good players.
No one liked, I think I remember reading somewhere, they say you didn't win many games, but teams didn't like to play you. It was like, what's Iowa? We don't really want to play them.
They didn't like to play you.
What's that?
The other teams didn't like to play you.
Well, they didn't like to play me because I was pretty tough. And fortunately, I had a good career. It was a standout receiving that kind of recognition. And I just thought I'd just stay at whatever position they want me at and just play the best I could. And I did.
Yeah, you definitely did. And that obviously, Ian, brings you on to the draft into the NFL.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, John. I mean, you were the first offensive lineman that Dallas ever took in the first round, weren't you?
Correct.
And one thing we've talked about with a previous guest, now we wondered if you could clear this up for us, and it seemed quite common back then, is you were taken in the first round. I mean, I think you were the fifth pick overall.
That's correct.
But then the AFL, you were drafted in the 13th round.
Yeah, well.
And that's what, I explained this on a previous program, but I'd like to actually understand to make sure if I'm right, why there's such a disparity sometimes.
Well, here's the situation. The AFL was drafting the same day, or the same weekend, as the NFL. And they thought, since the Cowboys drafted me number one, Oakland Raiders had me drafted number one, but never drafted me because they got the impression that, oh, we're fighting the Cowboys. He's a Texas boy. You know, we're gonna probably have a tough time getting him come to Oakland.
Yeah.
And they were right. They were right. If Oakland had drafted me number one and the Cowboys drafted me number one, I'm going to Cowboy country.
Yes.
Not that I didn't want to go to Oakland. It's just that it just seemed like too far, you know, for a punk kid coming out of college.
Yeah.
I thought, you know, I went to Iowa. That's far enough. Now I came south into Texas.
Yeah.
It worked out good for me.
Yeah, pretty much. Yes. And I mean, your first season, you ended up in the NFL championship game, didn't you?
Against Green Bay.
Yeah,
we played. I started about four games that year. And unfortunately, we went against Green Bay and we didn't do too good, but that's okay. We came back the next year and taught them a lesson.
Yeah, yeah. And of course, in 67 was the Ice Bowl, wasn't it? One of the most famous games in NFL history.
That's stupid. Shouldn't have been played.
No.
I mean, I it was just too cold. The fans got cheated. The team got cheated. You know, nobody scored anything of significance. Yeah. So, you know, we lost. They won. Rest is history.
Yeah. And as before you came on, I was saying to Richard that, but for those two games, we could have been talking about the Tom Landry Trophy rather than the Vince Lombardi Trophy, couldn't we?
Absolutely. If we won that game, won the Green Bay Packer game, and then went in to win the Super Bowl, next year, the following year, we would have been the dynasty of the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or the 60s.
Sorry, I'm just interrupting to let my cat out of the room there.
Yeah, how it could have been different, like you say there.
John, what was Tom Landry like? Because, I mean, I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. I've been for a long time. And he's always portrayed as being a very aloof character, very God-fearing. What was he like to be coached by?
When you look at your bookshelf right there, I see from turn to your left and look at your bookshelf. They're all great books. They're all probably very informational books. But until you crack them open, you don't know what they say.
Yeah.
Tom Landry would not let anybody crack them open.
Yes.
I don't mean to say that in a negative way so much, but he was a stoic character. You know, he knew the game, very smart individual. He knew how to build character within players. He knew how to bring players along. He just didn't have a great bubbling personality, just like your bookshelf doesn't have a bubbling personality, but you got those books up there for a reason. You evidently like them, or you know, and that to me was what Landry showed. You knew Coach Landry knew the game, no question about it. You knew that he knew, and he also gave you a chance to play. Now, again, that was back in the 60s. Today, maybe it would have been different, but they fired him at the wrong time. Unfortunately, they fired him too soon.
Yeah,
but that's okay. I mean, you know, we'll talk about it until the Lord comes back.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't done in a very nice way either, was it? Without going into that too much, but sacking of Landry was, not a great chapter in Dallas history, was it?
No,
when it was handled. Yeah,
but the game really, the game that shouldn't have been played is the game when it was 20 below. That was ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. We couldn't even, the cold was unbelievable. The footing was so numb. Your feet were so cold, you couldn't get any traction.
Yeah.
So, but hey, it was a great game. Even though we lost, it'll always be remembered as the Ice Bowl game.
Yeah, it's always going to be a famous game, isn't it? They're still going to show parts of it.
That wouldn't happen nowadays because the modern day players they'd be on the phone to the agents and saying,
"We're not playing." Right there. That's the
ice bowl. Not the ice bowl. Yeah,
that's the ice bowl game. Somebody sent me that, and sort of kind of nice.
Yeah.
They definitely wouldn't play nowadays. The modern players, they'd be straight out on agents saying, "We're not playing." It wouldn't happen with health and safety nowadays.
This is one of my great pictures. That's Coach Landry.
Is that not on the front of his autobiography, that picture?
I think. All I've got is the back of his hat.
Yeah, yeah.
But you didn't want him turning around because he was going to look at you and maybe complain about nothing.
Well, when I was doing a bit of research for this, John, for interviewing yourself, I was looking at some parts of the Dallas Cowboys history and there seems to be quite a few references to, your nickname as well, Johnny Nightlife, and a few references to different parties at your house.
Yeah, Johnny Nightlife was the one I'm most famous for.
Yeah.
I won't try to explain that one. You can figure it out.
I think we know about that. Yes. How was Tom Landry with the party side of things? Did he stay as though he didn't see any of that?
He did not tiptoe down the street. He did not sing. He did not play music. He was all football, football. He didn't want to waste his time doing things that couldn't build a team. And certainly Johnny Nightlife, well, he had a personality that he didn't particularly want to see.
Yes.
he liked John Nyland, the football player, but didn't want to see Johnny Nightlife.
He didn't particularly want to see it. So we just kind of, we entertained him at best. Let's put it that way.
Yes, and then obviously you played in two Super Bowls.
Yes,
one with the right result, one with the wrong result.
Yeah, one we lost, one we won. That started our long transition into a winning into a winning team. People then recognized us as being the real deal. You know, when you come back from the year that we had with Green Bay, losing that game, the next year we came back and we won, we won the Super Bowl. And that's all that counts. You know, it doesn't make a difference. Your win and loss record is the only thing you're going to be judged by. 20 years from now, they won't know who I am, but they'll know I played in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you'll always have that ring. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. And you played in the Super Bowl loss against the Baltimore Colts, didn't you?
That's correct.
Yeah. Which was known as the blooper bowl at the time, because there were so many turnovers, wasn't there, in that game?
I had a tough time. I won against Henry Jordan when I played against Green Bay. And I went against, I can't remember his name. Huh? No, I can't remember the guy. Can't remember the guy I played against Well, anyway, you're going to remember the Super Bowl at where it was 20 below zero. It's, the rest of it is just kind of a fog.
Yeah. Yeah. That Super Bowl as well, I uncovered a little fact about that Super Bowl, that it's the only time that the MVP has been given to a team on the losing side, which is one of your teammates. You remember who that was, John?
Yeah, I believe it was Jethro Pugh and Bob Lilly, wasn't it?
No.
I think it was two people.
Chuck Howley in that game.
Oh, Chuck Howley,
linebacker. Sorry.
Chuck Howley.
Yeah,
Who was the other guy? Didn't they give it to another guy, too? Besides Chuck Howley?
I think it was just Chuck, I believe. Ian's just froze a second.
Okay, yeah, he was the only defensive player ever to get most valuable player. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and then he did score when you won the Super Bowl the following year. He did score a touchdown as well, Chuck. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you remember that Super Bowl win? How exciting was it?
What am I doing on this show? You guys know this better than I do.
we won there. We're only as good as what we see on the internet.
Yeah, we just read about it, John. We weren't actually there like you were. It's easy to read about it.
We're about Canada, are you guys?
UK.
Oh, you're at the UK. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we're in Yorkshire.
You know, we tried to get you guys in the NFL one year. I think it was back in the 70s sometime. They put together a team and we all traveled to the UK and put on exhibition football. Now, I don't know if you ever heard of that. That's a long time ago, but we went around to different schools and we demonstrated professional American football, because we were trying to get teams back to that day. They tried to get teams we did one in Spain. We did one in Germany. These were like, you know, training camp visits. We did one at UK. And where was the last one? I think Portugal or someplace. We tried to establish a European league. Yeah. Well, you see how far that went.
Yeah, it sort of came late 80s, early 90s, but didn't last very long.
Yeah, then more people lived in soccer.
Yeah, I mean, it's growing and growing now. You know, it's quite big in the UK. You know, you have the regular season games on over here, and they just sell out straight away.
Do any part of Canada or UK? Do they have a league at all, a football league?
Yes.
Like American football?
Yeah, we do. We call it a gridiron league. But yeah, there's I don't know how many teams there are. I mean, I don't know. I could do good to watch a team near me, Doncaster Mustangs. I don't want to upset any of our listeners. It's not the best standard in the world. I'll put it like that.
Oh, come on.
It's fun. It's funny.
Anybody can go out there for 60 minutes and get himself banged up.
Yeah.
That's they've earned something.
Yes, absolutely.
It's definitely grow. I think we're just short of about 100 teams, I think, across men and women games. So it's definitely growing. And the popularity is there. I think we've just started. There's a new European league, which is at the back from the NFL as well.
Like an old teammate of mine said, hey, it's a stupid game anyway. Go out there and bang on each other. Yeah. come away with broken bones and everything. Oh,
yeah.
You know, okay, I got the point.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you were traded over to the Eagles, weren't you, at the end of your career?
That was it. Yeah. That was at the end of my career. Philadelphia. Well, I went to Coach Landry, and I told Coach Landry, if he wanted to trade me, to please go ahead and trade me to a team that I would like to go to. And at that time, Philadelphia seemed like it was a good team. Plus, they got a number one draft choice. Philadelphia traded a number one draft choice for me. So I ended up playing 2 years in Philadelphia.
Yeah. I did have a quote about that, about you're quite happy going to them, but Dallas actually got to, because Dallas were in a rebuild, weren't they? And they weren't expected to do well the year after you'd gone to Philly. And they ended up getting to the Super Bowl, didn't they, Dallas?
Well, it might have been a stupid move on their part. What's that?
No, go ahead.
It might have been a stupid move on their part because Dallas didn't do much that year, and we didn't do much either. Unfortunately, Philadelphia didn't have enough top talent. Let's put it that way. They had a few guys on there, but you know.
Yeah, have to mount a challenge.
Yeah,
I really like Roman Gabriel. I thought he was a terrific athlete.
Yeah.
But he got hurt. He didn't come back next year either.
Lots of so, different.
And you got injured, didn't you, at the end of that season?
I did,
John. Did you just decide to call it a day at that point? Was that?
Well, I tore up my knee again, you know. And when you start tearing up your knees, especially your knees, you start playing defensive football. In other words, you don't want to get hurt. You're favoring that knee or that ligament because you're open to you're just wide open for anything. You know, guys will roll up into your legs. Somebody will knock you over. You know, somebody might cut you down. I mean, it's a miserable experience, and I didn't have it anymore. I was there 10 years, and I figured this is time to retire. So I told them I'm not coming to training camp, and I didn't. I just stayed home and watched it on TV.
Yeah.
Nice and comfy.
And I was trying to find out what you did afterwards, John. I mean, I know you were in the Army at one point, weren't you? I couldn't work out when that was.
I was in the Army,
what they had back then was National Guard. And you could go to 2 weeks training in the summertime, which was active duty. And then you got to go to once a month, you had to go to the National Guard duty. And so I did. I was studying to be a pilot when I went to college. I got my flying license at the University of Iowa. I was going to be a pilot in the Army if I didn't make it in the NFL. So if I was just, you know, I was just hedging my bet. So I got my pilot's license, and fortunately I made it in the NFL, so I didn't take it. And I just played this, you know, I was in National Guard for six years was the commitment you had to make. And I did, I went 6 years, almost every year we went somewhere. Like I said earlier, we went to Germany, we went to Spain, we went to Portugal, we went to England, you know, we went to Canada, we went to all these places for our 2 week training. And for that reason, I enjoyed it. I mean, I didn't mind going to Canada. I didn't mind going to take a trip to England as long as only for 2 weeks. So, you know.
It didn't rain, did it? Normally rains.
Hey, there's a lot of things to see there. I love it.
Yeah.
I was looking, John, in some of your records whilst in the NFL, and 8 years you're a star at left guard, and it's gone down that you were not, if not the best, you were in the best left guard in your era. Would you agree with that?
I think for those years, yes. You had, you know, there's a couple of guys that played, but not left guard. They played right guard. I mean, Blaine Nye on my own team, he was darn good too. But I think that, you know, when you look back on it, I'm trying to think, who's that guy who played for Cleveland? Gene Hickerson. Gene Hickerson, I think it was. Well, anyway, he was another guard in the NFL, and he was kind of like the perennial all-pro guard until I knocked him off and took his place, so to speak, took his place. So, you know, I mean, all these recognition of all-pro, recognition of Pro Bowl, that's all nice stuff, but it's all publicity. All that's publicity is for the game of football.
What's your best memory from playing football, John? What's the thing that stands out?
I'll tell you a story that kind of got to me at one time. When I went to the University of Iowa, I was a poor, very under-knowledge kid. I didn't have much knowledge about it. But when I got to go to the University of Iowa, and I sat there in front of the coaches, and they sat there and said, yeah, we want you to come to Iowa. Now, listen, I was a punk kid. My dad didn't have a job. We didn't even have a car, practically. And I sit there and I said, well, I'd like to come to Iowa, but I have no way of getting out here. Oh, don't worry about it. We'll get you a car. You'll get me a car? Yeah, it was 1965. And they got me a 59 Dodge. So it was like a six-year-old car. And they got it for me. Now, that's all illegal, okay? So don't hold me against this. Now they said, hey, what else would you like to? Can you get my dad a job? My dad was having trouble getting a job. He was an alcoholic. But they gave him a job as a night watchman watching the stadium in my hometown. Just watching the stadium, that's all he had to do. So who's going to steal the stadium? Anyway, he was a night watchman. And I thought, wow, this is something else. You mean you get paid to play upper football? You get into the pro ranks? You get, no, we're not in the pro ranks yet, but we're in the ranks of out of high school, and now they will pay you to play the game I loved. Well, I thought that was great. Now, all of that was illegal. I mean, they did get my dad a job. They did give us a car, and then they gave me $75 a month. Now, in 1962, 63, that was a lot of money. $75 a month, all illegal, but I took the money.
I don't blame you.
I took the money, and it all came from fans, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, they knew I was hurting for, you know, I didn't have anything. My parents didn't have any money. They couldn't give me any money to go to school. I couldn't afford to even go to school in my own car because I didn't have a car. And they got it for me. Well, I thought that was something above and beyond the call of duty. Even though it's illegal, I was a kid that needed it.
Yeah.
Definitely a nice touch from the university, that.
Do you ever meet up with the rest of the old Dallas Cowboys team, you know, Roger Staubach and everybody? And do you have any reunions or anything like that, John?
I'm sorry, what was the first part?
Do you ever have reunions with your old teammates, you know, Roger Staubach and people like that? Do you meet up at any time?
Oh, I see. I saw Ed Too Tall Jones day before yesterday. Yeah.
Did you?
He was out playing golf with me. Not with me. He was playing golf at a golf tournament. Yeah. And I was just hanging out. You know, I see the guys at golf tournaments and charity events and whatnot, but there's not as many live here anymore. And of course, half of us are dead. I hate to say that, but it's true. I mean, you know, Bobby Hayes and a lot of them are not around anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it was a great experience and I still love it.
Yeah. I did hear a story about some of the things you did to help out ex-players as well. I mean, I know a guy called Harvey Martin that you actually found a job for, who had a lot of problems after he'd left.
I found a job for some of my
NFL.
Harvey. Yeah, Harvey Martin was the guy I got a job for.
Yeah.
Nobody would hire him. Of course, this is a black, we were a dark black team. Many of our players were black.
Yeah.
And when I came here in 62, you know, it was kind of like, we're still fighting civil war down here.
Yeah.
We're still fighting the civil war and still, you know, blacks were kind of, you know, they tried to control them. It's changed a lot since then, but back then there was a prejudice to the black man, and I did not understand that. I didn't quite get it.
Yeah,
and I'm glad I didn't.
No, I thought it was a nice story about me. I know, sadly, it didn't work out well with Harvey Martin, but it was. I just thought it was a nice thing about you reaching out to him to get him a job when other people weren't helping him.
Yeah, nobody would hire him, and I told Harvey, just follow what I do. You can make plenty of money and you can do a good job. And he did.
Yeah. He did. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
With the Cowboys nowadays, John, do you get to go down to watch much? How have you thought the Cowboys have done since the last won the Super Bowl in recent years?
I have. I've seen some of the Cowboys. Just recently, I saw some of the golf tournament, but I don't know, you know. What's the question?
How do you think they're going to do now?
Yeah, the coaches. As far as me asking me how they're going to do, I always think we're going to win. I mean, that's just part of my nature. But I don't find that that's going to happen. Yeah, what you want to happen doesn't always happen. But they're a good team. I mean, they need some defense. They did some good drafting. Zeke, his leg has come back on him. He's out there working out already. So, you know, hey, it's a brutal game. Get ready. Tighten your chin strap. Where's the speakerphone on this?
Right there. The
speaker's
there.
Oh, okay. Oh.
How do you think the...
How do I think what?
I think he's just froze there, John. I think mid-question, he's just a bit of a frozen screen.
Offensive lines in recent years.
Repeat that question.
I'm back now.
Okay. Repeat.
Oh, yeah, repeat the question.
What Ian was saying, John.
That's not you, John. That's not anybody.
I think you're back now, Ian.
I'm not catching the question, I'm sorry.
So I think Ian was just having a bit of interference there, John. I think what Ian was trying to say, how do you think the Dallas Cowboys offensive line's been over the last few years?
Well, the last couple of years they've been playing, but they're not playing great. You know, they got a lot of injuries. Maybe this year, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah.
They've got some good tools, though. They got some good players.
Yeah, definitely in a bit of a rebuild mode than they've been recently. I was reading up as well, going back to your days at Iowa. In 90, you were inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2006 and made honorary captain. I know you were saying before about the accolades and stuff, but because it all started back at Iowa for you, was that a bit of a heartfelt achievement to get that?
Oh, it felt great for me. Any kind of recognition you got 20 years after you retire is not a bad recognition. I'm surprised people even remember. But that's the way, you know, I guess that's the way they do this NFL thing. This Hall of Fame, they say they're going to try to put me in it this year. Oh, we'll see what happens. 2022, they're going to try to nominate me for the Hall of Fame. And it's about time. I'm not humble about it, but yeah. You know, I just think that you better hurry up. I'm 76 years old. I'm 77. My wife says.
I think that Hall of Fame is a good point with the NFL, John. I think nowadays it's been mentioned in recent years, players who've only retired maybe 5 years ago are getting touted to go in it when it's like you should be rewarding and the people who played in the 60s and the 70s.
Well, offensive linemen, listen, come on now. We really get no recognition whatsoever.
Yeah.
You might get a blocker running split in and he goes out and knocks the head back out. You'll see that block, but you don't see that stuff in the pit. I mean, the superstars of the game, the guys that run and catch and intercept and trap the quarterback. I mean, that's what fans come to watch. They don't come to watch me throw a half shoulder block into the defensive tackle. I mean, come on, it's boring. But it has to be done. Now, that's okay. I don't mind not getting recognized, but as far as I'm concerned, we only got one guy on the offensive line that's in the Hall of Fame from that era, and that's Rayfield Wright. Rayfield deserved it, but I think I do too. And I'm not shy about asking, but at the same time, I don't make any of the vote selections. I'm just saying, if it happens, great. I'm grateful the Lord recognizes what I did. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. I can, you know, I'll live.
I think
a good example of that, John, is when we talk about Super Bowl VI against Miami, Dwayne Thomas, 252 yards, MVP.
Yep.
He couldn't have done that without you guys, could he?
Oh, yeah.
You were making the gaps for him, weren't you, in that game?
You watched that highlight film and you'll see.
I've seen that highlight film. Yeah.
Yeah. You see, yeah. And Dwayne Thomas, you know, he didn't speak to many people. Dwayne Thomas had a very but he spoke to me. He wasn't stupid. He was. He spoke to me. He spoke to me because he knew who was going to be leading those blocks for him.
Yeah.
And today, to this very fact, I heard from Dwayne Thomas just a few weeks back, and we still stay in touch with each other.
Yeah, that is a true point. I've heard about it. Dwayne Thomas didn't speak to many people at all, did he? Very particular
about who he spoke
to. Yeah. What about Roger Staubach? Did he talk to a lot of people? How friendly was he?
Yeah, he did. I mean, he was friendly. I mean, he retired because he runs his company. And I assume he stays busy. I don't talk to him. I've not seen him in quite a while.
Yeah.
But we just, as I said, we see each other at golf tournaments and different functions and whatnot. We just haven't had anything with the Corvallis thing and all. Everything's been shut back.
Yeah, we've had the same over here. It's been the same.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you were saying there about obviously the Hall of Fame and stuff, but you'll always go down in Cowboys' hearts from the fans. And the, like you said about Thomas, memories were made for the Cowboys through you.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff may not have happened without yourself in that offensive line position. And like you say, the running backs, the quarterbacks get the fame, but your offensive line guys, and it's still nowadays with the modern teams, if you haven't got an O-line, it was proven in the Super Bowl last year when Patrick Mahomes' O-line went down, the offense of Kansas went. So it proves what a valuable and important job the O-line do.
Sure. Well, as I said, I think Landry knew that. We knew that. The fans don't care to know it. They want to see the big touchdown. The fans want to see the great run. The fans want to see the great interception. The fans want to see a crushing tackle. You know, defense wins championships. Offense wins games. So we won a few games. Defense got us to the championship.
So that was John, the football player. What does John like to do nowadays?
Sleep. I was fighting a little cancer here about a year ago. I was attacked with cancer in my salivary gland. And so for that reason, I've been taking it easy, trying to get my strength back up. I don't have a lot of core strength anymore. And as I get older, I'm just concerned that if I don't exercise, it's just going to get worse. So right now, I'm just trying to be practical and stay one step ahead of my wife.
It's lovely, is that?
She keeps me honest.
They always say behind a good man's a good woman. So obviously, Sean is there with you. So, John, obviously, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on tonight. Even just to talk about a few of your memories.
How late is it over there?
How late? It's 9:30 at night.
Oh, my God. You guys are getting ready to bed. Wow.
You were worth staying up for, John.
Yeah. I think.
Oh, thank you.
What we've tried to do with like the shows, we've been getting people on, and we're all fans of different teams. So far, if we can get you've been the first fan player of one of our teams.
Are you NFL fans or Dallas Cowboys fans?
So Ian is a Cowboy.
Can you see that, John? Can you see that?
Oh, your mother's gonna be mad at you.
You've got that ring. That's that ring.
Good for you.
Before COVID came, Ian's a regular pilgrim over to Dallas, aren't you, Ian, for a game?
Yeah, I do. Before COVID, I mean, myself and another guy who we normally have on the show couldn't make it tonight.
My daughter must have seen you on TV because she saw that wrist with a star on it. Now she wants to get one.
Now, we come over every year. About before last year, I've seen Dallas every year for the last 4 years, I think, over in America. So, yeah, we do like to get to the AT&T when we can.
Said they give
cool
once a year.
Yeah, call me next year. I'll tell you the same stuff. I'll tell you the same stuff all over again.
Well,
unless they win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If they win the Super Bowl, don't wait all year.
Yeah, no, we won't. Don't worry.
The thing is, John, though, if Dallas win the Super Bowl, I don't think I'd ever be able to speak to Ian again because
I'll be unbearable. You know what else Cowboys fans are like, John?
I'll be proud. I'll be proud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Send us your address and we'll send you some pictures.
Oh, that's amazing.
Thank That'd you. Be great. Oh, yes. Yeah,
you can vote on the Hall of Fame, you know.
Oh. I will be doing. Don't worry about that. Okay. I know about that. I've made a note of that already.
Yeah, send us your
email
us
your addresses and I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No, we'll do. That'd be great.
But yeah,
really appreciate that. Thank you.
On behalf of everyone at the First Down, and especially for Ian, John, and Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure about you being able to join us tonight.
Really enjoyed it.
When you guys come to Texas, you can come and stay with me.
Maybe Ian, maybe.
We'll take you out for lunch.
All right.
Oh, we'll take you out for lunch, John. Yeah.
Take you for lunch. That's good.
Yes.
Thank you, John.
Right, you guys.
Thank you very much. Cheers.
Thank you.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network. Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.